April 10th, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kama and Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Bet at the very bottom of the Amud, just a few words before the end of the line. If you recall, in the Mishnah we had recorded a Mahloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to how do you determine that an animal is Mu'ad, and then can you bring that animal back to being a Tam? The first opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda, was that it needs 3 separate days, and we're going to focus for the moment just on becoming Mu'ad, in order to become Mu'ad. On day one, it gores, and there's witnesses who testify about it. Day two, whenever that may be, and then day three as well. That's how an animal becomes Mu'ad, whereas according to Rabbi Meir, the second opinion in the Mishnah, it's just 3 times. Even if in one day the animal gores 3 times, that in and of itself establishes it as being a Shor Mu'ad. Major ramifications between Shor Mu'ad and Shor Tam. It could be the difference of tens of thousands of dollars, because again, whereas a Shor Mu'ad pays whatever the value of what it damaged is, and that could be a lot of money, a Shor Tam is A, only paying half of it, and B, only paying as much as it's worth, nothing more than that. That's what we call Shor Tam Migufo. The Gemara began by... They give an interesting point. Nathan suggests that maybe there's something about showing the tendency of an animal. The fact that it did it one day after another day shows that that's its tendency, as opposed to in one day it was just in a bad mood. The Gemara, interestingly, in just a moment, will suggest for Rabbi Meir the absolute opposite, and not counter it with your logic, which I very much understand. I guess the rabbis understood animals differently than me and you. But anyway, the Gemara says, what's the sourcing for Rabbi Yehuda? That was the first issue we saw in the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara presented 2 separate sources, one of Abaye, the other of Rava. Either, according to Rashi, a fundamental difference about whether 3 times and the 3rd time is established, it's the second opinion, that of Rava, as Mu'ad, or you need 4 times. 3 times plus 1, it's only then Mu'ad. Or as Tosafot explains, Rashi himself in Masechet Bava Batra says there's only Mashma'ut Dorshin Benehim, which means say Abaye and Rava, and everyone else agrees. It's only on the 4th time that you'll pay 100%, but the Gemara has just different derashot with regards to the tendencies of each of these Darshanim, Abaye and Rava. But fundamentally, what we set forth is, sourcing that, you'd need separate days, not a logic per se, as Nathan suggested. Sourcing Pisukim, we'd always rather Pisukim than maybe not. But we have Pisukim instead of logic. Says the Gemara at the very bottom now, some 7 words or so before the end of the line, Virbi Meir. And what about according to Rabbi Meir, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who maintains that Mu'ad can be even 3 times in one day? Maita'ame, what's his reasoning? Ditanya, we have a Beraita which teaches it. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, ironically, Nathan, is the one who's using the logic. Rabbi Meir, who says even one day, he says, Rihek nigihotav hayav. He says, well, let's make a kal vachomer. If you tell me rihek, meaning you spaced out the amount of time, whatever it is, in between the first nigiha, the first goring, and the second goring, and the third goring, meaning it's on separate days. That much, I'll grant you, Rabbi Yehuda. That's pesukim in the Torah, no question. But let's deal with those pesukim. The pesukim present to me a situation where day 1, day 2, day 3, day 1, day 5, day 10, whatever it is, establishes it as being a shor mu'ad. Can you imagine? Kirev nigihotav lo kol shekin. Wouldn't you say all the more so if kirev, if it gored in close proximity one to the other, instead of the Nathan claim that that's less regular, maybe it was in my words, maybe it was in a bad mood. No, it should be a kol shekin. If you were rihek nigihotav, and we still establish it as a shor mu'ad, kol shekin all the more so if it did them one after the other. And the response is not, we think that's a faulty logic. The response is, we can empirically, meaning we can prove with evidence from other cases in the Torah that your logic is not per se flawed, but it's against Torah logic. Well, I guess that means it is flawed. In other words, I can't explain to you why it's wrong, but I can prove to you that it's wrong. I can find you a paradigm, I can find you an example in another context of halacha where the Torah is makpida, the Torah is very careful in saying it doesn't go based on times, it rather goes based on days. And we don't make a kol shekin over there. Right? So that's what we're up against right now. That's what we're looking for. The response to Bimeir will be, very nice Kol Shekin, beautiful Kal Vachomer Bimeir. You say, if I did one today and another tomorrow with regards to the Shor Mu'ad, it becomes a Shor Mu'ad. Certainly, if I did it all in close proximity, one after another on one day, well, I have another case where the Torah presents for me the opportunity in one context that it could all be one after another, and nonetheless, the law is established that only if it's one day, after another day, after another day. So you see, the Torah isn't so allowing of this Kal Vachomer. What's the case? So it's a case it's going to sound like, and it is, it's coming out of left field. It's the case of Zava. Zava is the following. We're going to be as brief and as simple as we can be. It's very detailed. If anyone studies the halachot of Nida, you'll know at the very onset there's a tremendous mahloket in how to, from the Gemara down through the Rishonim, how to understand exactly what we're referring to with regards to, quote, the 11-day period. But anyway, Zava goes as follows. If a woman sees blood at a time that's irregular for her. So it's not at a time that she's expecting it based on her menstrual periods. She rather sees it at an irregular time, defined accordingly. We can't and won't deal with that right now. Now, if she sees blood in that time period, day one, and then another day, and then another day, then she's what's called a Zava Gedola. She's established as a woman who has a particular status that has Zava Gedola. She now needs to wait 7 days called Shiva Tehorim. She needs a Shiva Nikiim. She needs 7 days of purity. She needs to undergo a certain purity process with regards to immersing, etc. That's the halakha. But if the woman in one day at an irregular time to her sees blood, and then an hour later, blood, and then an hour later, blood, it's not sufficient for establishing her as a Zava Gedola. That's not to say that the seeing blood during that time period pronounces her and establishes her immediately as Tehora. It's not so. She has to undergo what's called Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, but not our issue right now, just to be mentioned. So that being the case, says the Gemara, here's the case. Amru Le, that rabbis responded to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, you wanted to say Kal Vachomer. You said logically, if the Torah, I like your Pesukim, Rava Abaye for Rabbi Yehuda, if the Torah pronounces an animal Shor Mu'ad, if it's on three separate days, we call that Rihek Negihotav, Kirev Negihotav, it does it close one after the other. Lo Kol Shekin, Zava Tochiyah. Right, the counter of your logic is evidence from the Torah of this woman we just described, called a Zava. Listen up. Shirihaka ri'iyoteha teme'a. If her sight, her seeings, which of course is a reference to the bleeding, if that's rihaka, what is rihaka? Milashon rahok again. Distance, day after day after day. Under such circumstances, if she saw blood day one, blood day two, blood day three, teme'a, then she's impure. Then she's what's called zava gedola. Kirevari ioteha. That's in contrast to if she saw them close one after the other, meaning all in day one, Tehora. Now again, Tehora doesn't actually mean she's Tehora. It means for our purposes, she's not what we pronounce and call Zava Gedola. Well, you see, have a counter evidence. Shouldn't we have a Kol Shekin? Shouldn't it be all the more so? You see, Rabbi Meir, your claim was, if the Torah tells me when you were rihek, goring today, goring today, goring the next day, certainly if it gored all in one day, you're Mu'ad, I have counter evidence. When it comes to a Zava, if it's saw day one, saw day two, saw day three, and only that way, not if she sees it all in one day.
One is referring to the aggression of an animal and the timing of the aggression, and one is the timing of a woman.
Right, right.
That's a weird example. Does it have to be 3 days consecutive with the animal, or it could be three separate days? Right, what's the span? No, does it have to be 3 days in a row, or could it be Monday, Thursday, next Monday?
No, it doesn't need to be all in a row.
Okay, then I have the other thing that I said.
But no, your claim stands. It is a difficulty in this Gemara because you see what they're, in other words, how do you bring counter evidence to what seems to be establishing, quote unquote, the psychology of an animal from a case that has to do with the biological reality of a woman, perhaps? But what I'm saying is, the counter to that, though, is that Nathan says, this. I could argue the psychology both ways as well. I could argue the psychology, I could tell you the aggression of the animal is evidenced better when it's one day after another. The point, more than anything, is, where it appears as if we're taking a step back and looking at this without applying any logic. We're saying the Torah says three times. Now, I know the Torah is telling me because that will establish the animal, but what's the actual reasoning? Is there something in its brain? Is there something in the woman's body? It's because the Torah says that three times establishes a norm. And as a result, what's the establishment of a norm? I'm willing to compare one to the other. It's not simple.
I would put it on the owner of the animal, because it's really not necessarily if the owner of the animal controls the animal after one day of pouring.
So just about 20 lines down or so, the Gemara is going to have the following question. No, that's okay. The Gemara is going to have the following question. When we say that it's mu'ad, who is the edut coming for, so to speak? Is it for the animal or is it for the owner? What's the Gemara says, lemay nafkamina, if I remember correctly. And the Gemara says, the nafkamina, I mean, the practical difference is, what about when they come one day after another day after another day, but they all testify on day three? So the owner didn't have a chance to safeguard his animal. All right, so we'll deal with that when we get there. So what I'm saying is you're making an assumption from now in that respect. At the very least, what we do know, and this is what the Gemara seems to be doing, is we can't get too much into the logic here. We need to treat this as evidence. I need to treat it as evidence. I need to look at what's an establishment of norm and regularity. What Jeffrey, what Nathan, what Alan are all injecting for good reason is there is a logic that underlies this. It has something to do with a regularity or a negligence of the owner, etc. All true, but ultimately speaking, what seems clear from the fact that the Gemara is bringing this as proof is that we're taking a step back and we're not allowing for those because we could get stuck in those logics, we could get stuck in, we're uncertain whether it's for the person or for the animal, we're uncertain whether irregularity is established one way or another, and as a result, we're willing to take into account Zava. That's the best I have for you, well, at least now.
But it's not like logical. Because you could argue that,
but you could do the opposite as well.
Violent, right? But if it did it three times in one day, maybe it was ill or something that was making it act weird.
But that was doctor. That was Nathan's claim. Rabbi Meir says the opposite at the top of the Amud. The Hachamim don't respond to Rabbi Meir. Maybe the animal was ill. Instead, the Hachamim appeal to the Pesukim in the Torah. So there's obviously logic both ways. That's what seems clear in the Gemara. Amar Lehen says the Gemara. So. You're not heeding my warning. I'm telling you, we got to stop. I'm nothing against you. I like everyone applying logic. I love logic. I'm a man of logic. However, what I'm telling you is the Gemara is clearly taking a step back and saying, we'll apply logic and we'll work on it, but we have to analyze this from Pesukim and Pesukim alone because we'll get stuck in the logic. There is nothing of this sort. There are threes. There's threes if you stay on someone's land for 3 years.
When they kill the animal every three times, something's got
to happen. That's what we're dealing with to a certain extent. This is it. These are the two cases where you have threes where it has to do with a three-time establishing regularity. I hear you, of course. No question. So you're throwing it in to make the point that we can't overdo the logic on this. That's all. Amar Lahen says Rabbi Meir. No, perfect. Amar Lahen says Rabbi Meir back to the Hachamim. So again, the Hachamim responded to Rabbi Meir. We like your proof, your claim that you have a Kal Vachomer. We have counter evidence against your Kal Vachomer. Your Kal Vachomer is that if it's done in closer proximity, it should be more severe, but it's not so by Azava. Amar Lahen responds Rabbi Meir to the Hachamim, not with logic, but rather with, again, evidence. Harehu Omer, he says, when it comes to Zava, the Pasuk says, Vizot tihye tumato bezuvo. Bezuvo. I'll translate the words in a moment. Talaha katu betazav beriyot. So here's what the Rabbi Meir responds. He says, listen, we've been talking about a Zava, a woman who saw that blood at the irregular time. Something else is a man who's called a Zav, not a man who sees blood per se, but a man who sees some sort of discharge, which is not keri, it's not a regular seminal emission, something else, it's defined in Masechet Nidah. And a zav has his own halakot. And a zav as well needs a three-time sight in order to be what's called a zav that brings, that needs to wait his own 7 days of purity, needs to bring a korban. That's the halakha with regards to a zav. What's the halakha with regards to a zav and seeing? How many days, how many whatever? I told you three times. The halakha with regards to a zav is even on one day, where Doresh Rashi quotes it from Pesukim. So it means the following. It means when I look at a zava, a woman who sees that blood, it needs to be three separate days. When I look at the man who has that discharge, same type of word over here in terms of discharge, same type of tumah in that respect, it's three times in one day even. Interesting. Listen to the pasuk now again. The pasuk has the following two words. Vizot tihyeh. Vizot tihyeh means like this will be tumato bezovo. Like this will be his contamination, his tum'ah in his discharge. Well, what's the words? Vizot tihyeh. Those are extra words. In other words, if I start, not me, because I'm not as medakdek in my words, obviously, as the Torah. But the Torah could and should say, the zav sees three times in a day. Chalas. The fact that the Torah says, vizot tihyeh, like this should be the zav, teaches me the following. That generally speaking, when it's a zav, when it's a male individual, or really any other case, three times in one day should be sufficient. But the Torah says by the zav, vizot tihyeh, to tell you, keep that in the context of this tuman tahara business, just to the man and not to the woman. That's the derasha of Rabbi Meir. So again, Rabbi Meir throws it back at the Chachamim and he says, you think you brought evidence from the Zava? No, 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 no. The real evidence is to bring from the Zav. Zav is three times even in one day, just like me. Are you going to ask me then, why isn't it so for the Zava? We call that Gezerat HaKatub, Mi'ut. The Pasuk excludes the woman because it says, Vizot tiyeh Torah HaZav Bizot. Says the Gemara again. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says that the way you establish something as being regular, my words, is by three times, we call it shalosh re'iyot, three times even in one day. What's my evidence now? Forget about my kal vachomer. Look at the zav as my re'aya, as my proof. Don't ask me from zava. The only reason zava is different is gezerat ha-katuv mi'ut of vizot tihyeh. That's what Rabbi Meir's response. It's coming. Says the Gemara, and as a matter of fact, they win on that. Says the Gemara, Amar lahen, says Rabbi Meir, back to the Chachamim, Harehu Omer, quote, Vizot yeh tumato bezovo, unquote, dash, talah hakatub etazav bere'iyot. We can establish based on this that the Torah is telling me that the zav is determined, again, the male, by sight, meaning all in one day, three times, ve'tazava, in contrast to the woman, biyamim. Say the rabbis back to the Bimeir, as Judah just said, I can make the opposite claim. Vizot tihyeh, if anything, is just telling me that the zav is different. It might mean that the norm is the zava, that needs to be three separate days, yamim is what we call it, and the zav, three times in one day, we call that re'iyot, he's the abnormal one. In other words, at the very least, fancy English word, it's an equivocal proof over here. And meaning it could go either way. I could make the claim, and as a matter of fact, the hachamim, or the biyut, what's that? Zav and Zava, same. It's the same domain. It's the same realm. So, absolutely, a zav needs to wait 7 days as well. No, no, you're thinking about, you're thinking today, because we don't do zav any longer. We don't see zav and we don't have a mikdash. But zav needed to wait 7 days. You need to bring a korban. Forget about it. It's a little known fact. In today's day and age, tuman tahara is left to kohanim and to women. Tuman tahara was once. Not today. Oh, sure. And even in one day, sure. And you don't know that? I don't know that either, because we don't do that any longer. Baruch Hashem, we have a different world. But, what's that? You have to imagine he did. You have to imagine he did. Yeah. Strengthens the Chachamim. Yeah, understood. Anyway, says the Gemara, Amar lehen, you could always ask those sorts of questions, not always, but often. Amar lehen, areu omer v'zot yed tumato bezovo. Talah katu v'tazav v'riyot v'tazav v'yamim. Responds Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Meir, mimai dahai v'zot lema'ote zava m'riyot. Who said that that pasuk is coming to tell me that the zav is the norm, the times that you see is the norm, and the zava is the abnormal, my words, the irregular, that it needs to be on separate days. Emma, maybe it's the opposite way. Lema'ote zav miyamim. It's to tell you that the zav is the abnormal, that the zav, even three times in one day, is sufficient, and the zava is the normal, that it needs to be on days. Amar kera vehazav et zovo lazachar v'lanekeva. Strangely, again, because he'll be knocked out in just a moment, it'll be Meir responds, no, I have a hekesh. What's your hekesh? The hekesh puts male and female together, one with the other. So what? Okay, I mean, it's a strange thing this happens. Amar kera, he responds, the pasuk says, v'hazav et zovol lazachar v'nekeva. Makish zachar l'nekeva. It attaches, in one pasuk, we call it a hekesh. When a pasuk talks about two separate halachot, one next to the other, we call that a hekesh. Makish zachar l'nekeva, ma nekeva b'yamim, af zachar b'yamim. It should have been, says Rabbi Meir, perhaps, that they're both b'yamim. V'lekish nekeva lezachar, ma zachar b'riyot, af nekeva b'riyot. In other words, we have a back and forth on this. Which one is the way it should have been? Should they have been all like the woman? Should they have been all like the man? Hamiyet rahmana vezot. The response is no. We have vezot. Maraita mistabera ka'ebriyot memaet riyot ka'ebriyot memaet yamim. ? So the Gemara ends as follows in a response to Rabbi Meir, in a defense of Rabbi Yehuda. It says, where is that pasuk of the vezot? That was our critical pasuk, vezot. The vezot was in the context of the guy. The pasuk of the guy, vezot tihyeh tumato bezovo. So the pasuk is in the context of the man, and it's minimizing, vezot means just here, not... It's minimizing, the understanding is, when you're talking about the male. In other words, you're saying about the male, you have a halakha that it goes based on one side, two side, three side, even in one day, but not anyone else. Meaning, you're the abnormal one as opposed to any other one. Again, it could have been argued over here. In short, the Gemara ends with a claim for Rabbi Yehuda, but it could have, between us, just as well ended in the opposite way, which means to say we don't have strong re'ayot one way or another. We had pisukim to establish days. We don't have pisukim. We had potentially a sivara called the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Meir to establish even times in a day. We have the general difficulty of how we're comparing these two things. That's this Gemara. It has far further reaching ramifications in the context of Hilchot Nida, ironically, for another occasion. But that's what we have thus far in our Gemara. The Gemara now moves onward, brings us back to those two opinions in the Mishnah, and brings us closer or directly to a halakha l'maaseh on this matter before getting into Jeffrey's issue right afterwards. Tanu Rabbanan, this is a beraita. Ezehu mu'ad? Well, that was the question in our Mishnah. What's mu'ad? Now let's remember in our Mishnah, because I introduced it only with one of the two issues. Our Mishnah talked about ezehu mu'ad ve'ezehu tam. First opinion, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm just gonna mention the two together. Three separate days and cancel out with three separate days not goring. Rabbi Meir, three times even in one day and any time that the animal is touched, or I was told that the art scroll says poked by children, I don't know how they came up with poked, by children, and the Tosefta even says in between its horns in order to make it tam. Those were the two opinions in our Mishnah. So I want you to remember one more time, the two opinions in our Mishnah seem to be split on both how it becomes mu'ad and how it becomes tam. Listen to the two opinions here in the Beraita. Each of them chooses Rabbi Yehuda plus Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir plus Rabbi Yehuda. Listen to how it happens. Tanu Rabbanan ezu mu'ad, ? Kol she'eidu bo shelosha yamim. That's whose opinion our Mishnah? The first one, remember, Rabbi Yehuda. Vitam shihu tinokot memashmeshin bo. Whose opinion was that? Rabbi Meir, the second one in our Mishnah. You understand what happened? We just mixed and matched. Jesse, this here, the board would have made this very easy, right? We have two opinions over here, and we grabbed the first in column one, the first, and we took in column two, the second one, Bimeir. V'tam shihu tinokom mimash meshimbo ve'no nogeach, divrei Rabbi Yose. So Rabbi Yose took Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regards to Mu'ad and Rabbi Meir's opinion with regards to Tam. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mu'ad, Kol Sheyidu Bo Shalosh Pe'amim, it's even in one day. Ve'lo Amiru Shalosha Yamim Ela Lachazara Bilvad. And he says then, and when I talk about Mu'ad being even three times in a day, V'lo Amru Shalosha Yamim Ela Lachazara Bilvad, meaning if you want to retract this, now you need three separate days. So he took Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Hazara means retracting, turning it into Tam. He took Rabbi Meir, it gets established as a Mu'ad very quickly, the second opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon. It says it becomes Mu'ad from three times in a single day. How does it become Tam? You need three separate days of not goring in order to establish it as Tam. All right, so it emerges then. We have four separate Shitot on Mu'ad and Tam, it appears. If you recall, we saw in the Mishnah, Tosafot, Harambam, they might not fully disagree. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava, what's the halakha? Halakha kirbi Yehuda b'mu'ad, sh'arebi oseh modelo, v'halakha kirbi Meir b'tam, sh'arebi oseh modelo. So effectively, what's the halakha? Like Rabbi Yoseh. What's Rabbi Yoseh? Remember, a mixing and matching. It goes like this. 3 days to establish mu'ad, and how does it become tam? Children touch it and pet it. What's that? Poke it, if you say so.
I agree.
The word mishmush, mashmishin bo, means to touch. I don't know. What?
Use.
Mishmush. Husha mishmush. Rambam talks about it being terrible. They poke. They do poke, really. Children walk up to oxen and poke them?
Nobody
pokes it either.
Oh, okay.
All right, good. I'm just telling you that your interpretation makes it more, which is fine. It's more difficult now to make it into a tam, because mine is hard as well. But it means you're petting it at least. Petting it, you're poking it. You're telling me the animal, which was just goring, is now going to calm down when you poke it. Never going to happen. Okay. Regardless. Anyway, the establishment of halakha now, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ahava, effectively says halakha is like Rabbi Yoseh. The understanding initially, there's a misunderstanding here in the Gemara of Rava, is Rava thinks the reason Rav Nachman just went with Rabbi Yoseh is because he thinks Rabbi Yoseh is the majority opinion. Because Rabbi Yoseh on Mu'ad went like Rabbi Yehuda, means Rabbi Yoseh plus Rabbi Yehuda. And he went like Rabbi Meir on Tam, which was Rabbi Meir plus Rabbi Yoseh. The response is, well, wait a second. I could do the same thing with Rabbi Shimon, just in the opposite way. Amar lo le Rava le Rav Nachman velema mor halakha kirbi Meir b'mu'ad, share Rabbi Shimon modelo. Remember, in this Beraita, we had the second opinion, Rabbi Shimon, who went like Rabbi Meir on Mu'ad, v'alakha kirbi Yehuda b'tam, share Rabbi Shimon modelo. In other words, the understanding was you thought that was majority because you had two, but I have two if you follow Rabbi Shimon as well. Bishimon as well agreed with both of them. He just went with the other two. He went with two in column one and one in column, or whatever. You know, I'm not making anything clear when I say columns. It's just in my mind. So anyway, in short, there's a confusion over here. The response, ultimately speaking, of Rav Nachman, Amar le, anak Rabbi Yoseh sevirali, de Rabbi Yoseh nimukoimo. So the response is, says Rav Nachman, I didn't mean go like Rabbi Yoseh plus Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoseh plus Rabbi Meir. That was my way of formulating it. What I really meant to say is, you want to know why we're going like Rabbi Yoseh? Because Rabbi Yoseh is the man. Why is Rabbi Yoseh the man? Nimuko imo. What does nimuk mean? Nimuk means depth. It means he knew how to learn properly. It means that halakha is like Rabbi Yoseh in all cases where he goes up against another. We have different principles in halakha with regards to establishing halakha. This is a major one. Rabbi Yoseh, nimuko imo. We say he had a certain depth. He say his mind and his understanding of halakha was strong enough that we establish halakha like him. And as a result, that's how we go. I read it to you from Perush HaMishnayot yesterday of Harambam. It's nifsak that way in his Mishneh Torah as well. How do you establish mu'ad? 3 days. How do you establish tam? Kol shetinokot memashmeshin bo. Does that mean that you can rid the mu'ad also in three separate days? According to Harambam, it appears not that way. According to Tosafot, maybe that would also be okay. It's not to the exclusion. Okay, that's what we have then in our Gemara.
Rabbi
Yoseh didn't. Yeah, I'll say it one more time. What's that? Rabbi Yose may have been saying one of two options. 3 days of no goring might be more difficult. Again, you have to get into the psychology here than poking or touching one time. Bottom line is, forget about Harambam and Tosafot that maybe I just made it confusing with. Bottom line is, to establish Mu'ad, 3 separate days of goring, to bring it back down to Tam, meaning you're only paying half at that point. It's any time that the children went up to it and petted it, or as you said, poked it. That's the halakha. That's the way the Gemara says the halakha is, and Harambam follows that very carefully. Now, says the Gemara, Iba'aya lehu. Here's the question that Jeffrey brought our way just a few moments ago. Iba'aya lehu, of course, means they were bothered by the following in the Midrash. Shilosha yamim de katane. Katane means taught. The 3 days which was taught in the Mishnah, and of course it's really deriving it from the Pesukim in the Torah, le'ya'udeh, again the word mu'ad, you have to, even though the word mu'ad means time, you have to translate it as to forewarn, or to establish a regularity. Anyway, le'ya'udeh Torah with a taf and a sheen, interchange, shor, is it to establish a regularity, to say that the animal, so to speak, is forewarned, or is it alternatively so that we say the owner should have known better? This proves his negligence. The animal, it's not about its destructive nature that we're establishing, it's the owner's negligence. That's the Gemara. That's why the word forewarned is difficult by the animal. Regularity is difficult by the owner. That's why I play with the two of them both ways. Correct. But that's, so let's redo it. Is mu'ad the establishment of regularity by the animal, or is mu'ad the forewarning of the owner? Okay, and it only proves the point that the word mu'ad is difficult to translate. So as the Gemara, lemay nafkamina, ma yotze mizeh. What's the difference? What's the practical difference? You told me 3 times. Chalas, that's 3 times, that's 3 times. What's the difference? Oh, well, philosophically speaking, because the animal now becomes regular. Philosophically speaking, because the owner should have known better. What's that? I said this already. Yeah. No, fantastic. That's the two of you are listening carefully. Baruch Hashem. Says the Gemara, lemay nafkamina. Answers the Gemara, de'atu. The nafkamina would be that came. Telata means 3. Kite sahadeh means groups of witnesses. Behad yoma, in 1 day. You got it? What happened was, well, we're going with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yose, 3 separate days at Gord. But the witnesses came all on day 3, day 4, whatever, when they came. They all come at once. They walk into court. I want to talk about that animal. Ooh, I will listen to you first. I want to talk about that animal on this day. I'll listen to you next. On that day. So we established it all on 1 day. Did we establish regularity of animal? Certainly. Did we establish that the owner could have been more careful? He didn't know. He didn't have opportunity to not be negligent. I understand he was negligent. But he had a one-time negligence, so to speak, because he didn't know better. Says the Gemara, "I amarta liya'udeh Torah miya'ed." If the establishment over here is the regularity of the animal, so then it was established. "Vi amarta liya'udeh gavra la miya'ed." If it's for the owner, it's not so. Tosafot points out that we're a little bit over here, need to take a little bit of liberty. If you look at Tosafot, the 4th wide line where it says "il liya'udeh gavra." When we're saying that we're establishing the negligence of the owner, not really. What do you mean not really? Of course it is. Well, think about it. First time goring, there was no warning beforehand. So it says to Tosafot, il ya'udeh gavra lo shiyeh mu'ad la'avor b'hatra'ot. We don't mean that we're establishing that the owner doesn't care about warnings and is negligent in the face of that which people told us. Because if that was the case, you'd have to wait until after the first one is time number one, after the second time, after the third time, you'd only establish it now, after the 4th time, and the 5th time would be the time that he'd be obligated. Nezek Shalim. What's that? No. The 5th time is the first time that'll be Hayav Nezek Shalem, is the point. Okay. Are you? Again, if the issue has to do with the owner, if we're establishing the nezek shalem, leave the killing aside, we established that in the last sugya, the killing is separate. If the establishment of the nezek shalem has to do because the owner doesn't know how to heed the warnings of others, so then it should have to be after the fifth time that you obligated nezek shalem, because you only got the warnings of others after the first time, after the second time, after the third time. That's what the Gemara says. So Safot says, Ela liya'udeh shiyodya'uhu b'chol pa'am shenagach sholo v'yishmerenu. It's not that he doesn't know how to heed warnings. It's that he doesn't know how to pay attention to reality each time they told him. So it wasn't a warning per se before the first time, but he did get the notification.
Wouldn't that be after the fourth time then? Because if he was warned after the first, after the second, and after the third, then on the fourth.
Right. In other words, the question is, when we say that the owner is negligent, negligent in what respect? He doesn't know how to heed warnings? Yes, so warning was after time number one. So it means no, that wasn't one. When was he warned? He wasn't warned for number one.
So then we'll give him an extra one.
That's what Tosafot says, but Tosafot says it's... One more time. That's all good. How many times do you need in order to be established as Mu'ad? Three. Three what? If the establishment of three is three that I ignored the warnings on time number two because I got warned beforehand. I ignored the warning on time number three. I ignored the warning on time number four. I'm only obligated on full damage once I do it again on time number five. Right? But the halakha is that it's only four times. So Tosafot says it's not about ignoring warnings. It's about ignoring reality that's hitting your face. They're coming and telling you your animal's dangerous. It's not that you're ignoring their words as a warning in a formal Beit Din setting in there. It's that you know, and there was testimony. But anyway, that being the case, the Gemara now says, so what's the halakha? One more time. Iba'aya lehu, let's read the safek and begin the answer, but we won't get there today. Iba'aya lehu, says the Gemara, shelosha yamim dekatane liya'udeh Torah or liya'udeh gavra, and we're translating the words liya'udeh gavra like Tosa. It's less about ignoring the warning. It's more about ignoring the understanding that your animal is dangerous. Lemay nafkamina, what's the practical difference? De'atu telata kite, that if three groups of witnesses, kite sahadeh, three groups of witnesses, sahadeh means witnesses, kite means groups, behad yomai in one day, I amarta, if you're to tell me, liya'ude Torah, that the issue is about establishing the regularity of the animal, mi'a'ed, it certainly is established. Vi amarta liya'ude. If it's to say that the owner, the person, needs to be established as ignoring the reality that's hitting his face, he will say, Memar Amar, he will say, Hashtahu dekam misahadubi. It's only now, Hashtah means now, that they're misahadubi, that they're testifying against me. My, what's the halakha? Questions the Gemara, and we'll begin with the Re'ayah from Tashema tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.